Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and yes, I know we're starting a little bit late today, but we're here and we are live. And we've got a wonderful guest today. It's summertime. This is a time when you're supposed to be enjoying blue skies, sunshine, warm temps. And if you're a little nostalgic, maybe you're listening in from the southern areas of the United States, people traditionally like to sit in their rocking chairs out on their front porch. And I know we have had relatives that have lived in that part of the country, and one of the things people have enjoyed is their front porch, as they're able to watch the world go by. Well, in today's busy world, that's not always possible. We don't see so many people sitting on their front porch. But my author today, Ed Poole, has written two books, Lessons from the Porch, A Gathering Place for Telling Our Stories, and then Lessons from the Crossroads, Finding My Authentic Path. So just sort of sit back, relax, use your imagination, but more than anything else, I'd like you to welcome this special gentleman who really has a passion for life and conveys that in these two books he's put together. Welcome, Ed, to the show.
Hey, welcome, Donna, and to all your listeners, and it's my pleasure to be with you today.
You've been involved in education, and you have been everything from a teacher to a middle school principal, a high school assistant principal and principal, associated superintendent for instruction, superintendent of schools. So you have just been involved with the whole theme of education, whether it's been in the general public education area or if you were involved with the Cummins Engine Company, a Fortune 500 company located in Columbus, Indiana.
You really
wanted to convey very special messages. Now, a lot of people say, who has time to write? I'm so busy. Who has time to do this? What made you sit down and put these wonderful publications together? Because they really are very heartwarming. They're thoughtful stories that you share. How did you come to the decision that you really wanted to put the pen to paper or the finger to the computer keys?
Well, you know, Donna, first of all, thanks for those comments about the book. Secondly, of all the people in the world, I never, ever would have thought that I would be called an author, but by golly, it happened. And there's an interesting story connected with that. About 14 years ago, my life was on cruise control. I had always gotten those fancy schmancy jobs you just mentioned in education. I taught at three major institutions of higher education. I had always gotten the jobs I wanted when I thought I wanted and needed them. Our two children were grown through college, and as Bill Cosby used to say, living away from home. But in the fall of 1996, I lived about an hour from where I was working, and much of that was a two-lane highway. And as I drove that highway that fall, I began noticing 18-wheelers and cement mixers coming my way, and I kept noticing those. And one day I thought, you know, Ed, if you just take your seatbelt off and turn the steering wheel ever so slightly to the left and smash the gas pedal down to the floor, you probably won't survive that crash. And because of the size of those vehicles, probably the driver wouldn't even be hurt. The day I took off my seatbelt was the day it finally all came crashing down on me, and 9 o'clock the next morning I was talking to my intern. 1 o'clock that afternoon I had a meeting with a psychiatrist, and by 4 o'clock I was in a psychiatric care unit for 4 months in a local hospital. And out of that came many gifts, the most important of which was I had no idea who Ed Poole was, divorced of all of those job titles that you just rattled off. So I took off 2 years and did absolutely nothing but read, write, and reflect. And out of that came the first book you mentioned, Lessons from the Porch, A Gathering Place for Telling Our Stories. And that book contains 23 lessons that came out of that two-year hiatus from everything except trying to take that long-avoided inward journey towards self. Mm-hmm. And the depression, the time in the hospital was one of the greatest gifts I've ever received.
Wow, that is quite a story. And I know that I have listeners that are going through difficult times right now. And
sure.
Sometimes I think we sabotage ourselves, as you did, because we know it's time to make a shift, and we just don't know how to step away from the speed zone. We don't know how to sit on the porch.
Well, that's true, Donna. It's so very true. In fact, you mentioned this earlier. Many of your listeners have a book inside them that they've always wanted to write. They just don't know how to get started. And I didn't either. The book kind of evolved. The title, Lessons from the Porch, came from the idea that when I was a little guy growing up in Columbus, Indiana, every beautiful day that you just mentioned with the sunshine out, and I'd get ready to go out on the porch and see who was out there ready to play, Mom would always admonish me, Eddie, don't get too close to the edge of the porch, because if you do, you're going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's kind of a normal cautioning from a mother to her son, but as I reflected on that after I got out of the hospital, the porch really became a metaphor for me for how I either do or don't, or did or didn't accept change in my life. And so that's where that title came from. And I just, you mentioned earlier, when in earlier generations back when I was growing up, everybody had a front porch, and most of them had swings or chairs, and
mm-hmm.
neighbors would stop by any time of day that somebody was out on the porch, and we'd sit and talk and share our stories. And then, probably in the 60s or 70s probably, those front porches became replaced by backyard patios. And one of the reasons for that, a big reason, was people just kind of wanted to be by themselves. They didn't want to have that wonderful social interaction that occurred while sitting on their front porch. Fortunately, home builders today are putting porches back on the front of homes, which I think
mm-hmm.
is a wonderful indication that we want to get back to those conversations.
I agree. At the very front of your book, you quote an African folk tale, which I'd like to share with my listeners. This is how it reads: "But when the people gathered once again around the fire, telling the story of all that had happened, something new came to mind. 'We have overcome the strength of the elephant,' they said, 'and our fear of shark and hawk. We have done this by sitting by the fire and telling stories of what has happened to us and learning from them. Only we, among all the creatures, have the gift of story and the wisdom it brings. From this day on, the people held their heads high, never forgetting to sit by the fire and tell their stories, never forgetting that in the stories could be found wisdom, and in wisdom, strength." I am a firm believer in that. I'm a consummate storyteller, and from as far back as I can remember, I have loved listening to other people's stories. And I have learned from that. Now, what you say in your book is that you want to tell your story. You don't want to sell your story, which I thought was a very powerful, powerful statement. Change, you address that as a part of life, and you go into phases of change. And you have some of the loveliest artwork in here. Who did that artwork?
Oh, my gosh, Donna, I was so blessed, and it was such a personal joy for me. he's not a young man anymore, but I can still consider him to be. John Cassano, who lives outside Denver, Colorado, was in the same graduating class as my son Eric from high school, and they have remained close friends to this day. And John went on after graduating from a West Suburban Chicago high school to Northern Illinois University and majored in graphic arts. And when I got ready to write that book, or actually as I was into the book, I wanted a caricature depiction for each of the 23 lessons that are in the book. So I remember having a long but pleasant afternoon meeting with John one day, and I told him briefly about each of the 23 lessons, left him with the titles, and those are the drawings that that John developed. He also created the front cover and back cover for Lessons from the Porch, as well as the front cover for Lessons from the Crossroads. So John has been a blessing, and it was not by accident that he and my son Eric became great friends in high school.
I would love for you to share. You've got one of your lessons, listening to others but not to ourselves. You have a delightful story, and I've heard this story before, about an old man, a young boy, and a donkey. Would you share that story?
An old man, a young boy, and a donkey.
Right. This is when the young boy was riding on his donkey, and his grandfather was walking along, holding the rope tied to the donkey's bridle.
Oh, yeah.
And it's your lesson about listening to others but not to ourselves.
Yeah. This is a story about a nomadic tribe, if I have the right story. And the chief of the tribe died, and his very young son, a teenager, in fact, was next in line to become chief of the tribe. But he was he had no idea how to handle that leadership position. So one day he walked and walked and walked many miles to see his grandfather, and they decided between the two that it was time to relocate that nomadic tribe to a different area in the desert. So they took off, and because the old man was much wiser than the now young chief, he was walking and leading the donkey, and the new young teenage chief was riding the donkey. And as luck would have it, pretty soon a nomadic tribe came along, and they absolutely berated the young boy because he was riding on the donkey while his old grandfather was having to walk through the desert. So they switched places, and the old grandfather got on the donkey, and the young boy was walking the donkey. And sure enough, another nomadic tribe came along, and they berated the young boy again because the old man knew the way through the desert, and yet he was on the donkey. So once again, they took the advice of that tribe, and they switched places. Well, finally, they came to a great divide in the desert. It was a very deep valley, and they had no idea how to cross that valley. And so, as luck would have it, and as the story goes, yet a third nomadic tribe came along, and they said to take that old wooden pole that was off by the side of the crevice, turn the donkey upside down, strap his legs to that pole, which the nomadic tribe helped them do, and the grandfather put one end of the piece of lumber on his shoulder, and the young boy put the other on his, and they started taking themselves very carefully down this deep crevice. And as luck would have it, the old man who was leading stumbled and fell, the boy fell, the donkey tumbled down the deep crevice and was killed. And the moral of that story is, if you listen to too much advice, you'll lose your ass.
That was too good not to share with my audience. So
as soon as you gave me that extra hint, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
It is so amazing. And that is where, as we mature, we realize that somewhere along the line, we have to stand true for ourselves. And you talk about dreams in your book, Lessons from the Porch. And you had a quote in the book. You have a number of them, and it's very comfortable reading. This is the kind of book I would say have a highlighter in hand, because you want to highlight those things that move your heart and move your mind. But you used a quote by Walt Whitman, "Not I, not anyone else can travel that road for you. You must travel it for yourself." And I think that societally, and I don't care what part of the globe we are living in, it is, do we get approval from other people? And it really takes a willingness to understand that maybe we're going to travel a path that nobody else is going to travel. They're not going to want to travel it. So just like the story about the young man, the grandfather, and the donkey, you're going to have all kinds of opinions, but somewhere you have to say, wait a minute, this is something I must do for me, not for anybody else. I'm not trying to please the world. I have to do it for me. And this was a very significant part of your growth as an individual, wasn't it?
It really was, Donna, because I was going through this 2 years of reading, writing, and reflecting and having no idea who Ed Poole was, but taking that inward journey that you and I just talked about. And by the way, that journey can't be avoided. If mm-hmm. some of your listeners are saying, that's not going to be something I'm going to have to do, sorry, but it's going to happen at some point in your life. But for much of my adult life, and as I have rethought that, even in my teenage years, I had a mask for every single role that I was expected to perform. I had a mask as a son, one as a friend, one as a father, one as a spouse, an educational leader in the community, a neighbor, a member of many civic organizations. I mean, I could slap those masks off and take them on, put them on and take them off mm-hmm. with a great deal of skill. And some of them were so important that I metaphorically had a duplicate set of masks on my top shelf of my closet. And I finally realized as I was going through this reflecting process while sitting on the porch that there were two problems with wearing those masks. Number one, they kept other people from really knowing who Ed Poole was. I'm sure, and I don't mean this boastfully, that some of my colleagues and friends would walk around thinking or saying to each other, wow, look at that Ed Poole. My gosh, he has got it made. Look at those mm-hmm. successful jobs he's held. Look at the lives he's touched, and on and on and on. When really they did not know Ed Poole. They knew Ed Poole by the masks I wore. And the second and more important problem with wearing masks is it kept me from knowing myself. Mm-hmm. And some of your listeners may remember some old cowboy shows that they watched on television. I certainly do. And the good guy would ride into town on his beautiful steed, and he would walk past the bank and the mill grinding facility and the local tavern and the feed store and the general store. But if you ever look behind any of those storefronts, what you'd find is each one was braced up by two-by-fours and other forms that held them up, and there was nothing there except the front that you saw as the star rode through town. And that was exactly what my life was. It was a facade. I had a persona for all of those roles I played, and I realized that I was good at wandering, wandering, before I was wandering, wondering. You know, I flitted from this job to that job, from this community to that community, thinking, oh my gosh, if I can just move to here and take this new job, all my problems are suddenly going to go away. Well, you know what happened. About 6 months later, they all appeared again. And so I realized that I had been living much of my adult and child life living by the expectations that others had for me rather than the expectations that I had for myself. And as I have continued this journey of self-understanding, I have now at this point very comfortably say, I know a a lot about who I am. I know what I expect of myself, and I bought a wonderful Big Dog T-shirt a few years ago that on the back says, "I'd like to care, but my give-a-damn's busted." And it's not really that serious for me, because I do care about other people. But what that T-shirt symbolizes for me is, in many cases, my give-a-damn's busted, because if other people's expectations for me don't match my own, which I now understand, you know, very frankly, I could give a damn.
Oh, I like that. That is good. That is really good. Bernard Shaw, you quoted him saying, "Most people die when they're 40 and they're buried when they're 90. Amen to that. I mean, there are so many people that have bought into scenarios, and they just are so fearful, and it's suffocating many times you're around them.
And you look
at them and you want to shake them until their teeth rattle. I guess I'm being a little bit violent here, but you really want to
you're right.
And say, wake up, there's a life here. Yes, there's hard times, but there is living to be experienced.
Well, and you know, that's such a very good point, Donna, and that was part of my growth through looking at that porch as a metaphor for change in my life. And for me, it has to do with comfort zones, Donna. The reason some of us quit living at 40 and die at age 90 is because we get into a comfort zone and we're afraid to bust out. There's a wonderful book written by Bruce Wilkinson, which I would recommend to your readers, called The Dream Giver. And it's a fable about a young man who has a dream, but he's afraid to leave. People are trying to convince him that, why would you want to go out there and find out nothing's there that you think is there? But he finally busts through that comfort zone and goes out. And it's very difficult for many of us. You know, we know where we're living. We know what we're doing. We know the problems that are there, and we've either learned to cope with them or ignore them. And it just scares the hell out of us when we think about having to bust out of those zones and try something different, to follow a dream, for crying out loud. And one thing I discovered as I began to bust through as many comfort zones as I could find is the only thing that does is increase my comfort zone, which is great. And I also began to realize that for me, because of my own belief structure, there have always been safety nets in place for me whenever I was brave enough to step off the porch, if you will, and bust through a comfort zone.
You talk about curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And discovering the curious child. I really feel that is so typical of what you described as a child, how we're warned and we're cautioned, and in our world today, everything is supposed to be safe and not tainted. And I know there might be some listeners saying, "Donna, you just don't understand how violent this world is." But I will tell you, you can educate, you can do whatever you can, but if you don't explore, if you forget that level within yourself that just looks maybe at a bird or a leaf and saying, "How does nature do that?" Or looking in the stores, asking, "Where does this come from?" Or talking to someone that maybe has had a life experience that you haven't had and just taking time to listen to them. Or picking up a book on a subject matter you've never had before. Life has a richness that there is so much diversity in this world. You should never, ever be bored. Ever.
Well, that's very true. And of course, you know, some of us are afraid of diversity. Some of us are afraid to have our beliefs challenged. I'll use an example of the major religions of the world. And I've studied all of those major religions. And one of the conclusions, which many of your listeners may already know, is that there is more sameness among all of the major religions in the world than there are differences. And so that's one example where diversity is not so diverse. I have a couple of friends who are attorneys, and both of them purposely read magazines and books that are way outside of their day-to-day work environment simply because they want to understand. I mean, one of them, Gary Chico, lives in Chicago, former president of the Board of Education of Chicago Public Schools, a former U.S. Senator candidate. And Gary reads books on the theater. He reads books on what's happening in Chicago. He reads everything he can because he knows that eventually that information will help him with one of his clients. And many of us don't want to do that. We don't want to take the risk of having our beliefs challenged when in many cases, and I'm the perfect example of that, my beliefs needed challenge like you wouldn't believe.
They needed a kick in the seat of the pants, and you gave that opportunity to the universe, and it not only kicked you in the pants, but it said, sit down, brother, you got to find out what's going on.
That's exactly right, and that's the wonderful gift that started for me. And the second book you mentioned, Lessons from the Crossroads, Finding My Authentic Path, came as a result of my second hospitalization with depression. I'm happy to say I've written, co-authored two books with my wife, Kathy, since then, and neither one of them did I write after I was hospitalized with depression. So I feel like I'm making progress on that.
I think that's admirable progress. There is a story that I feel is really worth sharing, and it's about Stone Kayambada, who was an internationally known soccer player. We live, and he's from Uganda, we live in a world that is constantly being nourished in fear, and there is so much hate that is being promoted on so many levels. And I wonder sometimes if humanity is ever going to wake up to the reality that hate does nothing but feed on itself and then destroy everything and anything about it. And it eliminates reason, it eliminates discord opportunity, it eliminates so much. His story, I think, is phenomenal. Would you share his story with my audience?
Sure. He was he was a tremendous soccer player as a young boy, and Stone grew up playing soccer. He became better and better and better. He had an opportunity to try out for an international soccer team, which he did. He made the team, and I think the story goes, it doesn't really matter, but in either his first soccer match or very early in his career, he was blindsided from behind by a member of the opposing team, and he did something to his leg that forced him to drop out of soccer at a very early point in his career. And as they were getting themselves up off the field, off the soccer field, and getting back up to their feet, Stone forgave this man for this very flagrant foul that he had made, and he said, you know, that's okay, you did what you had to do, or something like that. It's been a while since I read that story, Donna, but then he could have done anything else with his life, but he went back home to his little village, and what he decided, he purposely lived in that village when he didn't have to. He had already made enough money to live any other place. But for the rest of his life, he worked with young men who were young boys and young men who were probably going to go down the wrong path and had already started down the wrong path. But it's sort of like that movie that I love called Pay It Forward, where Stone took it upon himself to take his skills and help other young men to learn how to play soccer, to stay out of trouble, to the importance of family. And that's, you know, Stone has been an inspiration. I have a video of that story that I used to use with my graduate classes at the university level. It's just a wonderful example of someone who was able to forgive a career-ending injury for Stone, and move on from there, and you know, have a wonderful life helping kids.
Not only that, but he gave a representation that ended up being very, very significant in his small village, at breaking a cultural tradition of revenge.
Right.
And unless adults can lead with that kind of an understanding, with that kind of demonstration, which he did, then how can you expect the youth to do any differently? And if the men and women in life do not do that, then the youth are just going to continue to repeat the patterns of what's gone on before and not even understand why they're doing them.
Exactly. That's a very good point.
Well, we're out of time, Ed, and I want you to know I have so enjoyed your materials. And for those of you listening, Ed's Lessons from the Porch and Lessons from the Crossroads, not only are you going to be entertained, but you are going to be thoughtfully nourished and encouraged to be the person you really want to be. Not according to a yardstick, but according to a man that's walked and lived through his own, well, you've heard his story, through his own path. It's his path. But as with all stories, when we can share the richness of what we know, we're going to come out ahead. Ed, what's your website?
Can I give a quick plug for getting those books?
Sure. What's your website?
If you go to my website, folks, it's www.thelessonguy.com, and go to products. Those two books together, which retail for one's $19.95, one's $21.95, both of those books as a package, Lessons from the Porch and Lessons from the Crossroads, are on sale now for $19.95 plus $5 shipping and handling.
Wow, that's terrific. They are really worth adding to your library, and you could share it with friends. You could have book reading in your home.
It's a good book study book.
It's a good book study. Ed, it has been just a delight. Ed Poole, P-O-O-L-E. Go to his website, thelessonguy.com. Thank you so much
for being
my guest. It's been a privilege. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Marist Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reign. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. Hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates, or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all, starting August 7th and 8th, for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here is the telephone number worldwide, toll-free, that you can call into, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, we've got a wonderful lineup of guests that are evolving. But before I give you the information on that, I want to remind those of you listening from the state of Washington, I still have a few family passes left for this marvelous event. You just heard the ad about the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington. Now, I am going to be there myself. Look for a booth that has tremendously large yellow banners with bright red lions on them. I'll be there giving readings and things like that. But these passes are family passes. So that's two adults, two children. You're going to be able to get in for free the first three weekends in August. This is a marvelous event. It's totally family-oriented. The kids absolutely have the time of their life. You can wear costumes. I mean, anything really is fabulous. I love people's imaginations. I'm going into my 10th year with these people, and it's just a wonderful event. We always have such a good time. Some very famous artists are going to be there, and we are going to have the opportunity to get autographs from them. So a lot of things are going on. The knights are going to be jousting. There's going to be tradespeople there. You're not going to want to miss it. So if you'd like to get a free ticket, call my office at 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. Or email me and be sure and put in the subject line, tickets for the Ren Fair. Email me, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And don't forget, I am putting a book together. And if you want to submit your personal experience, your story, a psychic story, dreams, out-of-body experience, seeing ghosts, whatever your experience is, won't you send it to me? I'm putting together a book. I'm wanting to collect 100 stories, and I would love to have yours included. Be sure to put your contact information in as well. So whether it's for a ticket for the Ren Fair that's happening here in the state of Washington or for the story that you would like to have shared with other people about your personal experience, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Okay, who do we have coming on this week? We have got a terrific lineup. How to Stage Your Home, Carla Woolhow. Wow, she has got a DVD package that is awesome. Do you have a piece of property that's up for sale? Do you want to be able to move your home? Well, you listen in tomorrow, and if you've got a friend that's selling their home and they need some help, you're not going to want to miss Carla. This is a dynamic woman, practical, down-to-earth, and her DVDs are incredible. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about the history of the Renaissance fairs that are put on throughout the United States. They started in California, and it started with one woman's idea. So we're going to learn about that. And then How I know if it's time to go. Now, we're not talking about you dropping dead off the planet. We're going to be talking about personal relationships. Aha, got you there, didn't I? So if you are having a challenge in a relationship and you don't know whether or not you should stay or you should leave, don't miss this show. And then, good medicine, a return to common sense. Now, Carol Roberts is going to be my guest on Friday. She's a doll. And common sense, well, as the old saying goes, it's not so common. But why not find out what you can do so that you can keep yourself in good health? Life happens. We could go through ups and downs physically. But why not take a proactive approach? Don't expect somebody else to do it for you. So Carol's going to give us some wonderful tips. All that and more is going to be on the Donna Sebo Show. And by the way, if ever you want to find out who's coming up, check out on bbsradio.com, station number one. Check out the Donna Sebo Show Monday through Friday, and there is a list there. And you'll be able to go in and find out who's coming on. So we'll be coming up with next month's guests pretty soon. My goodness, I can't believe it. I'm already booking people for September. Time is just going by far too fast. It's amazing. Well, I have in front of me, by the way, if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. I have some little bits of trivia information in front of me here. And what I have, I wish I could show it. It's a picture of a peacock. Now, we all know what a peacock looks like. But this is one that was made out of a potato, or I should say potatoes. Now, it's 8 feet tall. It's a peacock-shaped lantern, and it appeared in a department store in Shenyang, China, in January of 2008. Now, what they did, they took the potatoes that were so finely diced, they were translucent, and then they arranged them in this phenomenal, you know what the peacock's tail looks like when it's all open? Well, these potatoes were cut and shaped like peacock's feathers. And what they did, they turned on lights behind all of these potatoes. It is absolutely incredible. They had just a phenomenal spectacle. There's no limit to what we can do, absolutely none. And it's important to understand that imagination is there for a reason, to be creative, innovative. Well, it is really something. Now, by the way, have you ever heard that music makes a difference when it comes to plants, animals? We've heard about research studies that have occurred throughout the years, and if you're a student in school, it is known that if you play classical music, especially Bach, in the background low, the brain responds and it is much easier to study. This is just something that the tonalities affect us with. Well, guess what? In Austria, there was a school for dairy farmers, and they have won awards for their cheeses. Do you know why? Their secret, and they're not afraid to share it, they play Gregorian chants to cheese, not the cows, but to the cheese, while it matures. And you know what? The top people in the school believe that the monk's music stimulates the microorganisms that help the cheese mature. Now, if you're laughing so hard you're falling off the chair, think of something. Every cell in your body is a complete level of intelligence. Every single cell in your body, scientifically proven. Those living cells in cheese are a world unto themselves. It's working. They keep winning those awards. The power of tone. That cheese is a living batch of organisms. Fascinating stuff, don't you think? And last but not least, you have to know that there is a museum dedicated to French fries. I know this is just going to make your day. This was the brainchild of Eddie Van Bell. The Fried Museum, and it's located in a Belgian city, It chronicles the history of the nation's favorite food from its conception in the 1700s. That's right, the Big M didn't originate it. It originated a pattern of really making it taste super good and getting it out to millions. But they have all of this history in this collection of fry art, and it's done with cartoons. And also, they have a huge collection of kitchen fryers. Well, this is Donna Sebo. I know that we have got some other things that we're going to be sharing with you. And if you want to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, pick up that phone. Give me a call at 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to also share something with you. I really liked the story that Ed shared about the young man who was a soccer player. I think it is so important that we recognize the importance of men and their effect with young people. I've done interviews just in the last few months with a couple of gentlemen that said they're very concerned about young males because they don't really have good examples. And I came across this information about a wonderful man. His name is Jones, and he's doing something very special, and I thought I would share it with you. He said that African-American and Hispanic children drown at a rate 3 times higher than the national average. Nearly 60%, double the rate for white kids, they cannot swim at all. And research that has been done on these various nationalities show they're less likely to have parents and grandparents who can even swim, much less have access to a pool and to feel comfortable in water, not to fear it. Well, the USA Swimming Foundation decided they wanted to change those statistics, and they have what they call is the Make a Splash program, and it offers for free or even at very low cost lessons to minority children. Now, Olympic gold medalist Cullen Jones, he's 26 years of age, he decided that he was going to really go after this and make it work. He's a program spokesperson. He tours all over the country, and he talks to kids in various urban neighborhoods. He tells them how when he was a 5-year-old from the inner city, he nearly drowned at an amusement park, and his mother immediately enrolled him in swimming lessons. To date, this program that was started again by the USA Swimming Foundation's Make a Splash program, they have taught more than 214,000 children across the country to swim. And the parents are thrilled. I think it's marvelous that men and women are giving their time and that an Olympic champion like Cullen Jones decided that this was going to be a very significant statement for him. What a wonderful example that gives to children. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Give me a buzz, 888-815-9756.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone number to call in if you'd like to chat with me is 888-815-9756. I meant to share some recipes with you. It's summertime. We'd like to have something that's really sweet and easy and that's going to taste good, but it's not going to be too heavy. Well, I can remember being at a resort last year, and one of the favorite dishes on the luncheon menu at this resort was a mozzarella and a tomato salad. And I thought I'd share this very simple recipe with you because it is just absolutely marvelous. And you can serve it with, you know, a nice crispy bread if you like, or crackers, whatever you feel like. But this is so wonderful. And by the way, if you buy your mozzarella, if you can get the fresh mozzarella, you're going to have more flavor to it. It's really going to be good. Now, this is what you do. You need 3 medium-sized ripe tomatoes, and this is the time of the year. Oh, they're just gorgeous. And you need 1 round of buffalo mozzarella or 16 ounces of sliced mozzarella, whatever you can get that's most flavorful, and fresh basil leaves. Now, you're going to want a dressing. This is very simple, I told you. So this is the dressing that you can make for this wonderful salad. You're going to need 1/2 cup of canned crushed tomatoes, 1/2 cup of canned crushed tomatoes, 3 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, or if you like a red wine vinegar, 1 teaspoon of thyme, 1/2 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, and 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. Freshly ground makes a difference. Now, the tomatoes you can put in a microwave dish, and you microwave on high for maybe a minute. The peels on the tomatoes will slip off. If you don't want the peels on, that's what you do. Then you slice the tomatoes thickly and arrange them on individual serving plates. Slice the mozzarella. Arrange them over the tomatoes, you know, putting them between them. 1 slice of mozzarella cheese for every tomato slice. And then you take your dressing mixture and spoon it over the tomatoes and cheese and use your basil as a nice, flavorful complement. It's a color. It is just wonderful to the eye, and it is so good. It's light. It's easy. Now, what about another easy one? How about a shrimp dip? If you're doing parties, I got a big one coming up where I may be having up to 100 people. So little things like this, it's like quick, easy. Gee, what am I going to fix? Well, why not whip this up really, really fast? You're going to need 3/4 cup of mayonnaise. This is a shrimp dip. 1/4 cup of milk, 8 ounces, an 8-ounce package of cream cheese, room temperature for all of this, by the way. You need 2 regular-sized cans of shrimp, and you want to drain them. You need 1/4 cup of chopped onion, and that has to be really fine. And then just a dash of paprika. Your mayonnaise, your milk, you blend that. That you can just whisk in just seconds. Add the remaining ingredients. Refrigerate for at least 4 hours or overnight so that the flavors really mellow and blend well. And then, of course, you can serve it with chips. You can serve it with pita chips, whatever you like. Fresh vegetables. It is terrific. Well, I know we're running out of time here. I'm so delighted you've been able to join me. And don't forget, we are going to have a wonderful guest who's going to be telling us how we can stage our home for sale. Believe me, this works. And Carlo Wilhau is a gal that knows how to do it, knows how to do it well, and even in an economy that seems to be kicking us in the teeth, believe it or not, there are still a lot of people out there that want to buy a home, and why not yours? So let's find out how we can do it and do it well. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Let your light shine. You're important. You're significant. You do make a difference. You touch people's hearts and minds in your special way. Turn that light on. Let it beam. We don't need darkness. We need your brightness. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Always like White Christmas on the radio. Jimmy Stewart looks great on black and white TV. All the colored lights that sparkle in the snow. I've seen and heard it all before, but right now, oh, it's so much more. Street corner Santa with a Sally Ann. Improved. Well, I guess it can, who knew?